Amen, amen. Well, good morning and welcome. We're so glad that you're here. So glad that you were able to find the place. I don't know if you noticed when you came in, there was no sign on our building. First or second timers, I apologize for that. It is still here. It's over on the wall over there if you wanted to see it. There's our sign. They're doing a little bit of painting out there, and so it's going to look good. We're really excited about that, but I did want to let you guys know that's what's going on. Someone first service was like, I thought maybe we moved, and they just didn't tell me, and I was like, No, we would really not like you if we did that to you. So anyway, that's what's going on there, but we're glad that you're here worshiping today with us and joining with us for our new series. Today we're kicking off relationship goals, and we're gonna start setting some goals in our relationships. Anybody ready to start setting goals in their relationships today? All right. Awesome. Last service, it was just my wife. No one else was really ready. But, you know, it was early. So, me and my wife, actually, we just celebrated our 18th anniversary. So that's really cool. We got to go on a little vacay a few weeks back. And it's crazy. You know, you start looking back and just thinking about where it all started and things that have gone on through the time that you've been together. And just, it's crazy to think how much has changed in our relationship, but even just like personally. And I'm thankful. It's been for the better. My wife has been perfect since day one. So there's that. You're welcome. I should get like brownie points for that later. Anyway, we were on our vacation, and we were just chatting through things. And I just remember like just thinking about when we first like got together, when we first married, and how I was just a total loser. I'm gonna be real honest. Like I was just like, man, it probably sucked to be married to me like back then. Like I was just immature, and I just said, I'm so thankful I'm not that guy anymore. Like that I've grown up spiritually, and so I'm just thankful for that, and I'm thankful for where God has led and just grown our relationship together as well. And I will be sharing about our relationship throughout this series as I talk about certain things, and there'll be good stuff, there will be bad stuff, and you know, just all the stuff in between. Today though, to kick off the series, I want to share with you, in my opinion, what I believe is the most important aspect of any relationship, and that's communication. Really healthy communication. In the early years of our marriage, of our relationship, our communication, and I say my communication was lacking. I didn't really like to talk or deal with anything emotionally that was going on. I kind of just bottled it all up and hoped that it would just be lost in the depths of my soul. I didn't listen very well to my wife or validate her feelings because I wasn't listening. And really what I did, I'm just thinking through, my life was, I went to work, I came home, I played video games, I ate, I slept, I enjoyed intimate moments with my wife, and that was on repeat. I didn't want to talk or about anything or any of that stuff. That's who I was. And you know, because of that, because of my lack of communication with my wife did desire someone to talk to. Should have been her husband. She should have been able to talk to me and share with me. And if there was something she needed to vent about that day, she should have been able to do it with me. But she wasn't able to. And so instead, she began to talk and vent to her mom, my mother-in-law. And here's what I'll say is that I'm glad that she had her mother-in-law to talk to and that it wasn't in another man. Because here's a really true statement for you men. If you're not listening to and validating your wife, she will find someone to listen and validate her, whether she's seeking it out or not. When another guy begins to show interest or listen or validate her, she's going to be drawn to that because you aren't doing it. That's a side note, and I wanted to just let that kind of settle in your spirit. You're welcome. She talked to her mom, just about every day, about all of our problems, right? And I'm thinking, really, all she's doing is talking to her mom about me. Like, I am the problem. And so I'm over there like, man, I don't like this, right? I didn't want to talk to her about the things that were going on, but I definitely didn't want her talking to her mom about it. So I didn't like it. So instead of instead of talking to her, like one day, I just remember I was fed up about it. I kept, you know, she would be like, hey, I was talking to my mom today. I'm like, great. What did I do now? What do I need to fix now, you know? I didn't want to hear it anymore. And I was done with it. And so I decided, like a man, I was going to write her a letter. And so that's what I did. I stayed up one night really late, like she had went to sleep. I'm like, all right, good, she's sleeping now. I'm gonna write this letter. And it was like a couple pages. Just like me just like airing out all my grievances from like the last 6 months, right? And just laying it all out there, laying like, I don't like your mom. Like, I mean, period. Like, I know. And it wasn't her mom's fault, but I don't like what's going on. She's taking place. And all these things are going out. And so I wrote this letter, and, you know, and very next morning, I put that letter on the counter, and I went to work, okay? Because I wussed out, okay? I wasn't willing to be a man and talk to my wife about what's going on. And so I leave this letter on the counter for her that morning. Well, what you need to understand is that my wife and her mom ran a daycare out of our home. And so my wife wakes up, finds the letter, reads the letter. Kids start showing up. Her mom shows up, leaves the letter on the counter. Wife reads the letter. Mother-in-law reads the letter. Y'all, I didn't have nice things to say about her. It was bad. I get a phone call. She's ticked. And like my, you know, my mother-in-law is reading all these things that she wasn't supposed to. And had I just been a man and talked to my wife, she wouldn't, you know, maybe have found out, or maybe I could have. Anyway, I felt like an idiot. And my poor communication skills really just made things worse. Now, that one is one that has stuck with me. That was about 18 years ago, right? And I haven't written a letter like that again. And if I did, I didn't leave it on the counter, that's for sure. I haven't done it. There's been many more communication blunders on my end. And what I've realized that is that healthy communication is key to fostering healthy relationships. And so each week of this series, I want to give you one goal to kind of work on. And you're going to keep working on this all your life, but we're just going to focus on one that will apply to your marriage. It will apply to your relationship with your kids. It'll apply to friendships. It'll apply to everything that's going on. So relationship goal number one is to foster healthy communication in our relationships. Now, before I move on into the rest of this, I want to pray and we can dive into it. God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the beautiful weather and allowing us to gather today to worship you. Man, just to be reminded that you are all that we need, that you are enough in the midst of whatever we're going through. You're it, God. And so right now, I pray we would focus on you, focus on your spirit, focus on what you are wanting to share with us today, and whatever the spirit says and leads and convicts or challenges, God, that we would hear it, that we would receive it, and that we would obey it. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay, so through the years, you know, I've gotten a little bit better at communication. And one of the things in recent years that I've really, really has been helpful for me as far as communicating with my wife is this app on the phone. I think I mentioned it before. It's called Marco Polo. Is it Marco Polo? I just call it Marco for short. But it's Marco Polo. And basically what it is it's a video messaging app. So like I can send a video message to my wife. She'll watch it whenever she gets it, and she'll send me one back, and I can watch it. And sometimes it can be real time, but it's just really, really cool. It just allows me to see my wife and talk to my wife, and we get to see each other's face and emotions and, like, all that stuff, and it's been great. You can also play the message again if you're a bad listener, okay? I'll get to that in a minute. So, you know, this is something that we use, but it's great and it's helpful, but sometimes I'll pull out my phone and I'm driving in the car and I'll go to talk, but I want her to be able to see me, so I'll have one hand on the wheel and I'll set it, my phone, like right here, and right behind it is the AC blowing on the back of my phone, so all she hears is she can't hear me. And it's no good. And so it's the same, like, there'll be times when I'm getting in or out of my car and, like, the phone, whether you're on a phone call or not, like, it'll try to connect to Bluetooth and you're, like, talking. You're like, hold on. And you know how it gets really weird in the midst of the changeover between Bluetooth? And you're like, I can't hear you. Can you hear me? And it's really weird. So anyway, here's my point in this. If you can't hear the other person in a conversation, the conversation is worthless. It's meaningless. You're not getting to say what you need to say. They're not hearing what you're needing to say. And other times, when I'm, you know, communicating with my wife this way, or other people, because I use it with other people, I'll find myself like trying to listen and keep on working, or I'll keep moving, and in that I'm distracted from actually focusing and listening to what is being said. And like I said, thankfully I can go back and listen again and be able to reply. But really, in our relationships, the communication problem isn't talking. The communication problem is that we aren't listening. We just aren't listening. We all love to talk. We all want to be heard, but are we really listening? Now, when we were dating in high school, one of my the things that my wife told me that she absolutely loved about me was my giant floppy ears. Okay, here they are. Ooh, not my. So they're giant and floppy. Now, here's the deal. They were big and floppy then, but thankfully my head has grown giant as well, and so they're not. They don't look as big, but they're still just as big. But my head has grown into them, and so it balances them out. Now, I share that to say, like, I think God gave me ridiculously large floppy ears so that I would be better at listening, but I didn't get the memo. My wife was just like, oh, your ears are so cute. And I was like, cool. Yeah. So I, like, honestly, like, I used to be the worst listener, like, the worst. And there was, you know, through the years, my wife kind of just was, she said, she's like, are you listening? And this is a phrase she would say, and that stuck with me as well. And she said, I wish you would listen with your eyes. And what did that mean? You're like, you may be in the room and you may be kind of listening, but you're not focused in on what I'm saying. You're here, you're there, you're all over the place. So if I want to know that you're listening to me, you'll give me your eyes. And so I'm, you know, that means I'm actively listening. We were at a church leadership conference years ago, and it was like a greeter hospitality thing, and they were just talking about our interactions with people and just having conversations with people. And there's one thing that stood out that the guy said. He said, you know, in our conversations, when we're talking to people, you want to know when someone's done with a conversation, watch where their feet are pointing. And so it's very, very interesting. The moment he said that, I said, oh my goodness, I think in most of my conversations, my feet are always like this. Like, I'm always in ready to go another direction stance, right? And it's bad. And so, like, I was like, whoa, that's a big deal. And so, like, from that time, I began to recognize, okay, where are my feet? I'm going to make sure that if I'm in a conversation with somebody, I'm going to make sure that my feet are planted, my eyes are here, and that I'm listening with all that I am. It's so funny. I said, don't call me out on this. Don't look at my feet, please. You will be just very, very saddened because my feet are, they're crazy. You may know this. You're like, yeah, Brent, I know exactly what you mean, because you seem to always be going towards the next thing, and you never see, and I have a problem, and so pray for your pastor, y'all, okay? I'm not great at this. I'm just sharing my problems with you so you can pray for me. Okay, and so feet, where are your feet planted? Are they there? Are your eyes planted? And so it's so important, and in communication, people want to know that you're listening, but like really, so with your ears and with your eyes, with your mind, with your heart, with all that you are. You know what's really funny? I was sitting here listening to worship, and oftentimes, maybe you can do this, and I didn't share this last service, but oftentimes I find that I listen better when I close my eyes. Is anyone else, like, I'm less distracted? I think that's why it's so important in prayer we close our eyes, because otherwise we're like, oh, what's this? Because we're like squirrel all over the place, and I just don't think my wife would like it if I closed my eyes while she was talking to me. So I don't do that. Anyway, that was just a funny thought that occurred to me. Moving back to this. Okay, so we want to listen. In high school, I found a scripture, and it kind of became like my life verse for that time. And it really, what it helped me back then is to help with my words and kind of speaking out rashly or emotionally, or even just really, really sarcastically to something that was going on, or being defensive about something that was going on. So it really, really helped me in that. But I realized later that God wasn't just trying to help me control, you know, just speaking out rashly or emotionally. He was also trying to show me to be a better listener. Let me share this verse with you. It's James 1:19. I'm going to give you the Amplified version. It says, let everyone be quick to hear, be a careful, thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, and forgiving. So that's the Amplified version. It kind of amplifies on. Let me give you the quick version. Ready? James 1:19 simply says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Quick to listen, quick to listen. Isn't it interesting that the first thing that we're told to do is be quick to listen? Not to speak, not to react, not to get angry, but to listen. Now, thankfully, due to this verse and in other verses as well, I've gone from being a really, really horrible listener to a decent listener. I'm still working on it. Still a work in progress. Like I said, you know, my feet, I constantly got to be aware of my feet and my eyes and all that stuff. And I'm a work in progress. And I can't remember, there's this quote, famous quote that I heard. And I can't remember where I heard it from, if I read it, or if it was just a thought of my own. So I'm just going to claim it. And here it is. You ready? The greatest communicators know how to shut up and listen. Anyway, it's not a famous quote, okay? That's just me. But I think it's so true. The greatest communicators know how to shut up and listen. Now, as a pastor, I am a communicator. communication is 75% of what I do throughout the week. And so it's crucial that in my communication, I am a healthy communicator. From the stage, healthy communicator. When I'm you know, in counseling or praying with someone or having coffee, healthy communicator. With my wife, with my kids, with friends, with everybody, I have to be in healthy communication. And ultimately with God. Do you know what the most important aspect of the communication is? It's listening. Listening. With God, I have to listen. I have to listen to his leading and his prompting. I have to listen to what he's saying and what he's calling me to do for me and what he wants to share with you, and I have to obey that. With my wife, I have to listen if I want to be a good communicator. With my kids, I have to listen. And with teenagers, it's not just listening to them talk to you. It's like listening to their attitude and being like, what's going on there? Anyway, they're here, so I had to share that one. And just like really, and I think in that, it's like really saying, okay, I see you, I hear you, I understand you. I want to help. I want this to be good. But listening is so important. And so in my life, I'm constantly reminding myself to shut up and listen. Shut up and listen. What about you? In your communication, whether it's with God, your spouse, your kids, friends, how would your relationships change if you shifted your posture from always needing to be heard to being a hearer, someone who listens? So many of us get it backwards. James 1:19, we're really, really quick to speak, really, really, really quick to get angry or defensive, but really slow to listen. And Proverbs puts it plainly. It says that's what fools do. Proverbs 18:13 says the one who gives an answer before he listens, the one who responds or reacts before he listens, the one who just rails things off and brings up the past before he listens, this is foolishness and is a disgrace to him. It's a foolish thing to not listen and to only talk and to only get angry. You want to know why listening is so important? It's because healthy listening reflects a healthy relationship with God. Healthy relationship. Because if we're not listening to God, the most important relationships in our life, if all we're doing is just shouting things out and asking him and telling him our needs and all that stuff, but not actually taking the time to listen, that is going to kind of go downline to all of our other relationships. And our inability to listen, well, that reflects unhealthy communication with God. Like I said, we tell him what we want. We tell him what we need. We tell him how to answer the prayers, right? Like, hey, God, you need to do this. And then we don't actually take the time to listen to what he's trying to say to us or to show us in the midst of whatever it is we're going through, whether it be conflict or some circumstance or some argument. We're not listening to what he desires for us or what he's calling us to. If we never listen, communication in all of our relationships will always be lacking. And where communication is lacking, you're going to find a relationship that's hurting. And you may not know it. You may not be aware of it. But if your communication is lacking, that relationship is probably hurting. Because the lack of communication hurts every relationship. It hurts your relationship with God. It hurts your relationship with your spouse, your significant other, your friends, your kids, your coworkers. It hurts every relationship. Let me shift gears really quick. How many of you really enjoy texting? Like you say, I'm so glad I can text. I text kind of a lot with my friends and my people. It's okay to raise your hand. I'm not going to like, no, hey, I'm going to call you out. Thank you for raising your hand. Okay. But you know, like you're not like anyone here, like you, your main form of communication is you like to call people up on the phone and talk to them for hours. We got two people over here. That's great because they're a couple, so that works out for them. Okay, we got a few. That's awesome. You don't see that. You guys are weirdos. But I'm just kidding. You're fine. I love it. I totally. But texting, you know, with texting, it's quick, it's convenient. You can even do talk to text sometimes, and you'll type it out. Mine is a mess. But anyway, you can do that. Here's what I want to say. And as I say it, let me finish my entire thought. Healthy communication cannot be done texting. I want to really focus on that word, healthy communication. Is texting efficient? Absolutely. Is it quick? Yep. Is it easier? Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's healthy. And that's what I'm talking about. You see, text conversations, especially if you're dealing with something really, really serious, can ruin a relationship. And let me be clear, I'm not talking about like quick conversations throughout the day, like, hey, what's for dinner? Or hey, can you grab this at the grocery store? Or hey, how's your day been? Or hey, do those. That's awesome. Use text in that way. But if texting is your main form of communication in your relationship, it's not good. If you're angry, don't text. If you need to air a grievance, don't text. Honestly, if you have to have a serious conversation, don't text. Listen to me. If you're in a text conversation and you have to go like this, like at least 10 to 8 times to get to the very top of it, or you're writing something where you got to swipe, don't send that. Oh my goodness. Pick up the phone, go meet them, talk to them, because I don't care how many times you've proofread it. I don't care how many times someone else has looked at it. The person that's going to read it is going to read it the wrong way, because they're left to assumptions. And maybe you say, I'm jumping ahead of myself. If your main form of communication is texting, in my opinion, that's a red flag in your relationships. And listen, I think it's healthy to spend time writing out your thoughts. It's healthy. Just get them all out, you know? So if you want to do that, that's fine. You type them up on something, open up notes or whatever. Start journaling those things. But don't send it. And dear Lord, don't leave a note on the kitchen counter. And definitely don't let your mother-in-law read it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you say, well, you know, Pastor Brent, oftentimes I find it really hard to articulate what I'm feeling or what I want to say, and so it doesn't come out right. I'm with you. Sometimes I'm really, really bad at that. And you say, well, I have to type it up. Fine. Type it up. But don't just send it, or don't just let them read it. You read it to them. Because here's what they're going to get you. They're going to get emotions. They're going to get authenticity. They're going to get vulnerability, where if they just read it, they are left to think, I wonder what kind of state that they were in when they were reading this. I wonder how they meant this. And again, just assumptions begin to take place. And this is the biggest issue with text communication. There are no emotions. No amount of emojis can fix that. You may be like, I put like 18 emojis on the back and everyone knows. No, it'll never be enough to come in place of the emotions that someone can feel when you're talking face to face. Texting is not healthy communication. And often it showcases barriers to face-to-face communication. Maybe it's fear, maybe it's doubt, maybe it's insecurity, maybe it's anger. Maybe for you it's conflict avoidance. You're not realizing that you texting is creating more conflict, but you're just trying to avoid conflict altogether. So, I'll just send this really quick and it'll be fine. No. These things, they aren't found in healthy relationships. So we gotta work on healthy communication. And you know, we all have barriers in our communication. We all have moments and things where it's hard to talk, it's hard to articulate, it's hard to share. We're concerned about how it's going to come off, and you know, all those things. And so I believe that like one of the best ways, a really, really good way to break down our barriers in communication is prayer. And we did a whole prayer series. But what is prayer? It is communication with our Heavenly Father. And here's why this is probably one of the best ways to break down barriers, because Jesus is a relationship conduit. Do you understand? We are connected with God through Jesus. We better connect with other people through the conduit of Jesus. We connect better with ourselves because of Jesus. Where Jesus is present in our relationships and in our communication, man, those things will be much stronger. I love what James 5:16 says. It says, confess your faults to one another. It's communication. It's two-way. It's being able to be vulnerable, be authentic, to share. Hey, this is what's going on. Here's what I'm dealing with. And then it's listening. So we're confessing our faults to one another. And it's not just confession. We're praying for one another. I hear you. I see you. I'm praying for you. Will you do the same for me? And it says to confess and to pray for one another so that what? So that we can be healed. so that there can be restoration, so that there can be reconciliation, so that we can move past whatever we're dealing with or whatever you're dealing with. And it says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. So it's communication with God as we pray for ourselves and for one another that will accomplish much within our relationships. So how often do you pray for your spouse or for your kids or for a family member or a coworker or a neighbor? How often are you praying for them? And then coming alongside of that, this a form of communication, how often do you pray with them? Where you're joining together and you're coming together and you're praying out loud with one another and you're hearing the things that are going on. How often do you pray with your spouse and with your kids and with other people in your life? How often, in the midst of an argument or a disagreement or an understanding, do you go to prayer to receive wisdom and discernment, to center yourself and align your thoughts and your emotions with God? How often do you go to prayer in the midst of an argument for the other person? God, give me grace, give me understanding, give me patience, give me empathy, give me sympathy. God, put my emotions in check. Let me see this from their perspective and from your perspective, God. See, prayer breaks down barriers because it brings God into the equation. It brings God into the circumstance. It brings God into the situation. And when we bring God into a situation, it is always going to get better. He is going to help us and guide us and lead us in the best way. So if you're angry, if you're upset, if you're frustrated, whatever's going on, you take a moment to pause and you pray, you find peace, and then you respond. This is James 1:19. You listen, you be quiet, you let your anger settle, and then you respond. That's why I love James 1:19 so much, because it helped me respond the right way, and it reminds me to listen when I just want to spout something off. The moment you stop kind of just thinking about or focusing solely on the issue or what was done with you or what was said or all that, and you take that issue and you give it to God, is the moment it will begin to get better. I'm not saying it will get better, but you're going on the right path. Because you've taken that thing and you've brought it to God. You're not just relying on your own thoughts and your own understanding. And as you pray, whether it's with your spouse, for your spouse, your child, your friend, or whatever, as you pray and you ask God to help you, you begin to share with God how you're feeling. You get to let some of those things out, and you ask him to give you guidance, and maybe you go to his word, and you go to God, and you have this open heart and an open mind. It'll help you go back into this conversation with God-led responses, where you are then open and honest and authentic and vulnerable and empathetic to the other person, and all of those things are going to then break down the communication barriers that are taking place. And it'll lead to healthy communication, and healthy communication, guess what that does? It brings forgiveness and restoration. You know, and this is what Jesus showcased for us. Now, Jesus, if you go through and you read the Gospels, he was always in communication with God. He was always going to God in prayer. He had a lot on his mind. He had a lot to do. There was a lot of things but he would always go to God. And probably the most vulnerable and most honest times that we see him spending time with the Father is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's found in Matthew 26:36-39. This is, you know, right before his arrest. You know, in his crucifixion, it says this, verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. He told the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is swallowed up in sorrow to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me." Going a little further, he fell face down and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And you know this story, that he's deeply distressed. He's sorrowful. He knows what's coming. You know, he's thinking through everything. He's thinking about his disciples and his friends. He's thinking about the fact that he's about to be betrayed by Judas. And all these things are going on in his relationships. And he says, "I'm going to go to the Father with it. because he's the one that's gonna help me through it. Before going to the cross, he was in prayer. There were moments when he was being falsely accused and he was silent, slow to speak. I think in those moments he was still in prayer. And then, after being nailed to the cross, guess what he did? He prayed for those who put him there. Jesus' words on the cross showcased the posture of his heart towards those who accused him and had wronged him. And what did he say? Forgive them. Forgive them. Now, as we talk about communication, one of the major barriers to healthy communication will be unforgiveness. And if we're holding on to that, we'll never get to healthy communication. It's interesting to think, without forgiveness of our sins through Jesus' sacrifice, our communication with God will be non-existent. We don't get to communicate with the Father. We aren't given the Holy Spirit. We don't have that. And so forgiveness is the key. And just as he forgave and broke down the barrier to communication, we need to forgive in order to experience healthy communication in our relationships. Healthy communication, it can't thrive where bitterness lives. It can't thrive where there's unforgiveness. It can't thrive in an atmosphere of dishonesty. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes, close out today. And I've shared a lot with you, but I think really the main focus right now is that forgiveness aspect of it. Because until you deal with that, you'll never get to a place where you have healthy communication. Because you'll always go back to that. An argument happens, a disagreement happens, you'll bring that up, you'll throw it in their face. And that's not good for you, it's not good for the relationship. And so that needs to be dealt with. And so today, I wonder, who or what? Who do you need to forgive, or what do you need to forgive? Someone wronged you. Maybe it's something to do with your parents. Something that was said, something that was done. There's a barrier to communication there. Maybe as a parent, there's something there with your children. And there's unforgiveness, and there's bitterness, and there's resentment. Maybe it's with someone who used to be a really, really close friend. And something happened, and you have a longing for that friendship again, but instead you're holding on to bitterness. You're not willing to forgive. Listen, you and I were offered forgiveness when we didn't deserve it. And because of that, we were given a way to communicate with the Father. And so today, I would say to you, if you're holding on to something, it's time to let it go. If you desire for there to be reconciliation in that relationship, it's time to let it go. Spend time right now in communication with the Father, taking it to him, giving it to him, and then ask him to give you the strength and the wisdom and the boldness and the courage to go to that person and to reconcile whatever it is. Because something tells me you value that relationship more than anything else, more than that problem that brought your relationship to ruin. So take care of it. Put it in the past where it belongs and move forward. God, right now, I just pray for our relationships, God. There are so many things that factor in to our daily communication. There are so many distractions and so many things vying for our attention, and the enemy is hard at work to create division. So God, I pray for unity in our communication for your son, Jesus Christ. that we would seek him out in our good moments and our bad moments and our arguments and our disagreements. God, that we would put you right at the forefront. That as we go into difficult conversations, we remember the love that you showed us on the cross and the grace you showed us on the cross and the forgiveness you gave us on the cross. We would just extend that out so that reconciliation and forgiveness can take place. God, I'm praying for marriages today and for the communication just to open up. I'm praying where there are barriers with parents to their children, God, that you would let bygones be bygones and let them start fresh and new. God, begin today to plant some seeds of restoration and forgiveness that leads to healthy communication in our relationships. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.